So I had a 1 week kind of transition Sunday. Before I went on vacation, I wrote this sermon. And I went and wrote down the title right after I got out of a dumb debate. Went to my office and wrote down what I was thinking, which is, someone get me out of these dumb debates. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I studied some case law just for fun. I did think about being a lawyer for a while. You know that. I've told you that. And I've shared some of these court transcripts with you, but I found some new ones in a book called Disorder in the Court. And it's always interesting to me the interaction between the lawyer and the witness on the stand and how that can transpire and go back and forth. So I got the actual state the case was litigated in and the actual interaction between attorney and witness. So check these out. First one's from California. Question, she had three children, right? Answer, yes. Question, how many of them were boys? Answer, none. Question, were there any girls? Answer, Your Honor, I think I need a new attorney. Can I get a new attorney? How about West Virginia? Question, are the men who assaulted you in this court today? At that point, the defendants raise their hands and say, hey, we're right here. Over here. Here we are. Florida. Doctor, how many autopsies have you performed on dead people? Answer, every one of my autopsies are performed on dead people. Kentucky, question, all your responses must be oral, okay? What school did you go to? Answer, oral. New York, what was the first thing your husband said to you when he woke up this morning? Answer, he said, where am I, Kathy? And this upset you, why? Because my name is Susan. And then I didn't leave Indiana alone, y'all. Question, doctor, before the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? Answer, no. Question, did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. Well, so it's possible patient was still alive while you performed the autopsy. Answer, no. Question, well, how can this be? How can you be so sure, doctor? Answer, because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. Question, but could the patient be alive nevertheless? Answer, yeah, it's possible he could have been alive and practicing law somewhere. I've been drawn into question-answer things all the time. Sometimes I like it, but generally, in the end, and me and Kurt, there's Kurt there, me and him, we debate things all the time, and I enjoy that. So this wasn't a debate I left with you and wrote down, why am I in these dumb debates? I wanted to clear that up. But I often leave thinking, you know what? He was right, and he was right. And I'm not sure where the dividing line. They both sounded right to me. So I want to share with you some things that are not debatable, that come from God, and some things that are dumb, and I want to get out of them. But we're going to start with a scripture in Romans. When I grew up, we sang the doxology. Anybody sing the doxology growing up? I grew up in the Church of Christ with a piano. I only found out when I came to Lawrence County that Churches of Christ didn't play the piano. So I grew up in the Church of Christ with a piano, and we sang the doxology every Sunday as the men came down with the offering plates. They're still singing it. They've sung it for 150 years, same words, same tune, and it's ingrained right here, and I bet you can sing it with me, right? Most of you raised your hands. Let's try it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Didn't that take you back? Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Add the amen. Amen. Beautiful. That was beautiful. And then, I liked that, and then they would follow that up with something I didn't like. They would do some readings that they called doxologies. And the guy up front was fired up about it, but the church, they were half asleep. So the guy up front would say his line, which is, God is great, God is great. And the church was supposed to respond, God is great all the time. And no lie, every Sunday I'd sit there and I'd watch to see how it would go, and it went the same way. God is great, God is great. All time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So glad I'm here. is wonderful. What in the world has happened from him to them? There's a doxology in the scripture, and I thought about having you say it with me, but then I thought, that might bring back bad memories, so I'll say it for you, and it led me to this topic today. And I want to say it with a little bit of feeling, because listen to this. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him, and through him, and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Now that's a doxology. And that doxology tells me that when God says something, that's the end of it, whether we understand it or not. Because his ways are above our ways, and he doesn't think the way we think. So before I get into the dumb debates I want to get out of, let me mention a few things I believe for which there is no debate. All right? No debate, number one. No debate. You can choose life, spiritually speaking, or you can choose death. Can't have both. There's a division. There's a dividing line. Choose life, eternity with God in heaven. Choose death, separation from God in hell. That's your choice. One or the other. You choose one, you don't get the other. Choose the other, you don't get the one. See where we're going? Either or. Either or. Deuteronomy 30:19 clears that one up. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your children may live. Can't have both, one or the other. No debate number two. You can choose one God. You can choose many gods. At the point that you choose many gods, you can't choose my God. And at the point you choose my God, the God I worship and serve, you can't choose many gods. I was listening to some political leaders, some well-known political leaders the other day talk about Islam again, still in the news. And I'm telling you, to hear them talk, you would come away believing they think that following Muhammad is the same as following Jesus. It's not. It's not. Now, I know I can be a bit of a control freak. I will confess to that. But I can't control what everyone believes, because if I could, just because you have the right to believe whatever you want doesn't mean your belief is valid. Islam denies that Jesus is the Son of God. I reject that teaching. Islam denies that Jesus died for our sins. You can't say, well, I believe in the God we worship, Mark, but I think all these other people and the gods they worship, I think that's fine too. That's legitimate too. They have their God, I have my. No! No, no. No. Either or. Either or. One God, many gods. You choose one God, you reject the many gods. You choose the many gods, you reject the one God. Either or. See? No debate. No debate number three. You can choose, or you can serve God, or you can serve money. Now, I know you're going to think, Mark, you got that wrong. It should say you can serve God or you can serve the devil. Yeah, but I'm just quoting Jesus, which I always think is a good thing to do. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. Here it is. You cannot serve both God and money. You have to choose. You have to choose. Serve one, you leave the other. Serve the other, you leave the one. How about no debate number four? You can live by the Spirit, you can live by the flesh. Can't do both. I like what Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 5:17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. That's why you're always feeling this conflict. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want to do. I've always tried to be honest with you about my own shortcomings and failures, and I'm probably the biggest sinner I know, saved by grace, thank the Lord. I try, but man, do I get off track pretty easily, and I start letting my flesh take over, and when that happens, I have left the Spirit to the sideline, because they don't coexist. You choose one or the other. This is an either or. I'm going to choose to live by the Spirit, or I'm going to choose to live by the flesh. Little boy comes home, and he's got his swimming trunks on, and they're wet, and he's got the shirt he went to school with on, and it's wet. And his mom said, I told you not to go swimming after school. And he said, He said, well, I didn't. I fell in. And she said, but you got your swimming trunks on. And he said, well, I had a hunch I might fall in. I got a hunch that you all might fall and that I might fall. And when we do that, we need to realize we've fallen and we need to get back to serving God and living by the Spirit. I added one more to which there's no debate. You can choose which ball team to root for. You can choose this team right here with the halo around it. Or you can choose this other team right here. You see, one is right and one is wrong. There's a dividing line there. Man fell in love with a girl of his dreams. Only problem was he was a dedicated Hoosier fan. She was a Kentucky fan. So he made the ultimate sacrifice. Would have been a deal breaker for me, but he made the ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to become a Kentucky fan. He went to the doctor and he said, is there anything you can do? Doctor said, yeah, it's a simple procedure where we remove half your brain and then you'll be a Kentucky fan. So he agreed to it. He agreed to it, and the next week in recovery, after the surgery, the doctor said, man, I'm sorry, something went wrong with the scalpel. He said, instead of taking half your brain, we removed 3/4. How do you feel? The guy sat up, looked around, said, go Boilermakers. See, sometimes God draws a line. Now listen, as we turn this thought, sometimes we want to draw a line where there isn't one. And we go from these things that there's no debate about to dumb debates. I used to play Would You Rather games with my kids. Probably not the best parenting. I try to pin them down, make them choose. It was fun. Choose one thing. Would you rather wrestle with Dad tonight or get a hug from him? Guess what they said most of the time? Right. Nothing says I love you like being thrown against the wall. So they'd say, let's wrestle. I asked Jared when he was like 4 years old, would you rather play video games tonight or go to church? And immediately he said, go to church, Dad. And I realized I'm raising a four-year-old liar. Sometimes I'd pit people against each other. I'd ask my girls, would you rather hear Rich Mullins sing or your dad? The answer to that one's not important, so let's move on from there. And I don't know why I did it, and it's probably terrible parenting. But whenever I had the kids on my lap and they were little, I'd whisper in their ear, who do you love more, mommy or daddy? Don't judge me. You all are smiling because you've asked the same question. Who do you love more, mommy or daddy? And I had Buzz on my lap once, who do you love more, honey, mommy or daddy? She said, oh, no, you're not tricking me. I said, you have to answer. She said, okay, I love mommy and I love daddy. Even at 4 years old, she was smart enough to see that's a dumb debate, a dumb choice. What happens is people are always trying to put God in a box and clarify things and pinpoint things and make everything black and white. But the scripture we began with says we can't pin God down that way. So I'm going to tell you some of the dumb debates that I get drawn into that, frankly, if I could just have my way and stick with it, I'm done with them after today. How about that? So this is like a cleansing for me, and you all get to be a part of it. Dumb debate number one. It's all about grace, or it's all about truth. Which is it? Is it all about grace? Is it all about truth? Jesus said in John 1:14, I'm the one and only who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Where people put an or, God puts an and. And some say, well, I believe we should be all about grace. I mean, what do we say sometimes? This is the what? The grace place, right? And I believe it is all about grace. And I believe God is a loving God. That doesn't mean people won't go to hell. It's about grace, but Jesus makes it clear it's also about truth. And it's not half and half, it's whole and whole. If you say, Mark, I want you to go to church with me down the road, that church is all about grace. I don't want to go there. Not if it's all about grace. There's no truth. Well, then come to church with me. It's a half a mile down the road. We're all about truth. Well, I won't go there either. Because the church that's all about grace is not all about grace if you're not being told the truth. And the church that's all about truth is not all about truth if you're not being shown grace. It's not one or the other. It's a dumb debate. It's both. Not half grace, half truth. Whole grace, whole truth. Both. It's about both. Man, is truth important? You can look at a brown cow and call it black. You can look at a blue sky and call it gray. You can look at a pink Cadillac and call it white. And you can be completely convinced of that. But you're still wrong. And you'll always be wrong. Years ago, I heard about a city slicker who started farming. Had no idea what he was doing. Thought he did. Went to the local co-op and bought 100 chickens, baby chickens. Week later came back and said, I need 200 baby chickens. Week later came back and said, give me 500 baby chickens. Co-op manager said, man, you're doing great. City slicker said, nah. Said, I'm either planting them too deep or too far apart. Truth matters. Truth's important. Grace is important. I don't want to be sucked into a debate trying to pick which is more important when God says they're both important. Don't try to make me put an or where God put an and. You're covered by grace. I believe that. You know why I believe that? Because that's a truth. Truth, grace. It's not one or the other. It's both. Dumb debate number two. Man, I'm tired of getting sucked into this one too. Should I make plans or should I trust God? Which is it? Which is it? Should I make plans? Should I trust God? Correct answer is what Buzz said to me when she was four. Oh, no, you're not tricking me with that one. It's both. Proverbs 16:9, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. I make plans and I trust God. It's not either or, it's both and. I don't just pray, God, help me make my mortgage this month. No, I work my budget so that I know I can help make my mortgage with God's, trusting God all along the way. It's both. It's both. It's mommy and daddy. Planning and trusting. Here's another one. Is God in charge or do I have free will? That's a dumb debate. Oh, that might be the biggest one right there. That is a dumb debate. If you fall on one side or the other of that one, you are in a ditch you can't get out of scripturally. Ephesians 2:10 is perfect. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. A little Bible study. Who prepared it in advance for us to do? Who did that? God. Who's to do it? We are, right? God prepared, we do it. God prepared, we do it. It's both. It's both. But we don't like that because to serve a God who's both means we can't be God. When I was ministering in Bright, our church was growing. And if you have a growing church in a small community, and this is sad, other churches, jealousy is a real thing, and competitiveness, that doesn't just translate to the softball field in church softball league. That churches are ruthless about who goes where and how many you have. And I've received a lot of criticism, unwarranted, honestly, through the years, because I was a part of a growing church there. Well, they've gone liberal. All they care about is numbers. All they care about is putting people in the pew. Putting people in the pew means more money. More money means new buildings. It's all they care about down there. Not true. Not true. I stayed home one Sunday because I was sick and turned on a local church on television. I'd never watched this church before. Full Gospel Church, State Line Road. I'll give you the address if you want to go, but let me encourage you, don't ever go. Stay home that day. You have the preacher's permission to stay home that day if your choice is to stay home or go there. Only time I ever tuned in, didn't know anything about him or the preacher. And the subject of his sermon, the one time I watch television on church on a Sunday morning, is me and my church calling us by name, telling how some people only care about putting people in the pew, and we're, what, how did he say it, an inch deep, mile wide, but an inch deep. That's how he said it. All we care. And I listened to him. I did. He had my attention at that point. And then he made this statement, and it really got my attention. I was sick, but I sat up. He said, and he had a fiery voice. I kind of wish I could have his voice. I wish I could have your voice, Jeremy. He had this fiery, deep voice, and he reared back on his pulpit. He said, it's not about how many people you bring to Christ. And I thought, listen, whatever he says next is going to be dumb. You make a statement like that, whatever follows that statement is going to be dumb. Right? You're starting out that dumb, whatever you say next is going to be dumb. It's not about how many people you bring to Christ. It's about how people grow in their faith. Dumb. Because it's both. It's both. It's both. That leads to dumb debate number. It's all about reaching people or it's about going deeper. Which is it? Which is it? You all tell me. Which is it? It's both, isn't it? How am I going to teach people if I don't reach people? I'd love to have every pew filled here every Sunday. I would. And I'd love to have every one of you in a class and a Bible study and a small group and connect. I would. And both are important. Both. There's nothing deeper for a church to do than to reach people who are lost and on their way to hell. Nothing deeper a church can do than to share its faith with people who don't have any. Nothing deeper a church can do than to say, we're going to go near and far with the good news from here in Bedford, Indiana, all the way to India, and let people know you need to come to Jesus. Nothing deeper than that. It's all about reaching people, and then it's about teaching people. Remember what Jesus said in the Great Commission? He covered this. We should know it's both in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, reach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Reaching, teaching, both, both. Both. There's a great little verse in Philemon, verse 6. There's only one chapter. Check out what Paul wrote. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Don't paint me into a corner and pin me down and ask me which is more important, reaching people or taking them deeper. I'm done with that debate. It's both. It's both. Dumb debate number 5. Should we honor God or should we honor people? I got a nasty letter several years ago here at Hillcrest. I had just started, and I forget who it was, but there was an older member who I thought we should pay some honor to just because of their faithfulness and service. And I highlighted them and gave them a gift in front of the church, and I got a letter asking why I don't highlight so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so's been here this long, and so-and-so's done this much. And like what I did was wrong. Like I shouldn't have done what I did. Listen, there are people who think that all you need to do is say you love God and come to church and be done with it, and you can treat people the way you want to, and it won't matter. I'm telling you, this is both. Should we honor God? Yes. Should we honor people? Yes. 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 I'm a dirty, rotten, ungodly sinner. Truth. But I'm a holy, righteous, forgiven child of God. It's both. Both. We had a tent revival preacher who came to our church when I was a kid, and then my dad drugged me around to 5 tent revivals that I remember. 4 or 5. I asked Jimmy if he's been to some, but he's never preached any. I preached one. They're kind of cool. Different feel, different flair. But the problem was, the guy that came to our church and held tent revival, I didn't like. And I was 14. Didn't like. He was rough. I mean rough. I can handle being preached at. I've been preached at all my life. He just stomping, snorting. I mean, if you sit in the first pew, it's like going to watch Shamu and sitting in that zone where you know you're going to get wet. Just yelling at us. And then my dad said, well, let's go to a different tent revival. It's over in Madison. We go, same preacher. All 5 revivals under a tent he took me to, same dude. And dad knew it because he liked him. I didn't like him. I didn't like his sermon. I didn't like his sermon title. His sermon title, I'll never forget it, 14 years old. 75 Things God Hates. If I put that out on the church sign and said, hey, Mark's going to preach, or Charlie's going to preach, or Jimmy's going to preach on 75 things God hates, would that get you in here? And that dude hit all 75 every time I heard him. 2 hours and 20 minutes. And the worst part was, I was 14 years old, and I'd already done 63 of the 75 on his list. So it was kind of convicting. But he had that gruff, deep voice too. And he made a statement that got amened. And even as a teenager, it hit me wrong. And I'm trying not to mischaracterize what he said. And I'm sure he didn't mean it the way I took it, but I'll tell you the way I took it. He reared back and he yelled, "It's not about people. It's all about God." And the church shouted, "Amen." Not about people. All about God. Amen. I don't know what to do with that. God is all about people. What do I do with that? God is all about people. It's all about people. And it's all about God. Don't make me choose between God and those created in the image of God. I mean, I'll choose God if it's a personal choice and it has to do with who I'm going to follow and love and serve. But don't pit me against the Creator and His creation. That is a dumb place to be. It's about God. Amen. It's about people. Amen. God is all about people. I took to heart a long time ago, 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister, he's a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. It's not either or, it's both. And I told him in the last service, we should preach a sermon series called The God of the And. Have you thought about all the ands in the Bible? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Lion and the Lamb, Son of God and the Son of Man, the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith. He's big enough for both. Grace and truth, making my plans and trusting Him, being in charge and giving Mark free will, reaching people and taking them deeper, honoring Him and honoring others. He is big enough for both. I'll never forget that tent preacher telling us it's not about people. Maybe he didn't mean it the way it sounded to me, but it had an impact on me. Even as a kid, I started to make sure I didn't look at anyone differently than I looked at anyone else. And I'll tell you this, I can't make many guarantees from the pulpit, but I'll guarantee you this. I will never judge you or look at you differently than I look at anyone else. I don't. I do not. I learned a long time ago, and I've got a lot of faults and flaws. This ain't one of them. Every person that I meet or interact with, I see them as an eternal soul who God wants to spend in heaven with Him for eternity. That's how I see people. That's how I see you all. That's how I see myself. That's how I see everyone I minister to. That's how I see people. My sophomore year at Cincinnati Bible College, what a cool idea for a class. I don't know if you guys that went to college, Bible college, Derek, you and Erica and Jimmy and others, if you had to do anything like this. We had a practical ministry class. And I'll close with this. The idea of the class was to go meet somebody downtown, either living on the street or under the bridge or in a shelter, and convert them to Christ. That was a practical ministry class assignment. That's cool. That's cool. That's right up my alley. And I had a camp team. We served at a local shelter, so I already knew some men and women who down on their luck and hadn't known the Lord yet. So that's where I went to school. And some of the buildings have changed. Actually, all of those buildings have changed, but my camp team went down, and I met a man named Lee. He couldn't read, he couldn't write, but man, was he cool. And we hit it off, and we bonded, and I said, "Hey, you know I'm studying to be a preacher," and I go up to the Bible college on the hill. You could see the cross. Our school, our campus had a cross that would light up at night, and from downtown you could see where the school was located. Couldn't see the buildings really, but you could see the cross. So I showed Lee. I said, "That's where I go to school." And I said, "Can I just tell you some stories from the Bible?" And he's like, "That'd be great, Mark." So I started telling him stories. And he loved them. Never had heard them. Loved them. Noah, Daniel, all the biggies. told him about Elisha, the bald-headed prophet who called the she-bears out of the woods and they mauled the teenagers who were making. He loved that story. He's like, is that in the Bible? Yeah, that's in the Bible, dude. And there's a whole lot more that's in there, too. And it's cool. And then I turned from stories to Jesus. Started talking to him about Jesus. And I could feel the ball rolling, man. And it was awesome. I'm like, this dude, he's really thinking about this. And the day, one day he told me, he said, Mark, I'm ready. I want to give my life to the Lord. I want you to baptize me. I felt great. And then the director of the shelter where Lee spent his nights and got his food told me that Lee had been diagnosed with lung cancer. Lee didn't tell me that. He should have told me. He didn't tell me, and the director said, he doesn't have long. So now I'm wondering, you know, is he really comprehending what I'm saying, or is this like an insurance policy for him, and he's trying to, you know, trying to get in under the gun? Which, honestly, I say if you get in, I don't really care when. But I wanted to make sure it was real, so I talked to him. I said, Lee, you know this is about a relationship, right? This ain't like a rabbit's foot in your pocket. This ain't like rubbing Aladdin's lamp and the genie's going to pop out and everything's going to be okay. I know you got cancer, and I know you're not going to be here long unless the Lord steps in, but this is about a relationship that will go on forever. You still want to do this? And what he said to me, I wrote down. That's 1981. I've had it all these years, and I've never to this point heard a better confession than from that homeless man on a street in Cincinnati. Here's what he said. There's so many things I don't know, but what I do know is if what you have told me is true, how can I say no? I want everybody to say that. I want that to be everybody in this church. That's what I want the answer to be. Everybody I talk to over there or around this town, that's what I want them to say. I don't know it all. There's a lot of things I don't know. But man, if this is true, how can I say no? Oh, let me hit you with this, church. If heaven is a real place and hell is for sure and Jesus is alive and the Bible is completely accurate and reliable, how can you say no? This morning, you need to say yes, church. And to that, there is no debate. Amen.